This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Ernest, what's up? Look, quick question. How is your social battery doing right now? I'll be honest, mine is a bit on the low side. Maybe it's not setting enough boundaries or just a typical slowdown after our super hectic work schedule. It's so easy to overlook our social needs or overextend ourselves, isn't it? What's your ideal balance of socializing? And how do you recharge? Whether you find energy in crowds or need more time to yourself, understanding your social needs is crucial. I remember a time when I struggled to balance my social engagement with my personal downtime. Y'all know us, we're always outside. So what really helped me was learning to recognize my limits and prioritizing my well-being. I've heard plenty of my peers champion therapy as a great tool for gaining this kind of insight. It's not just for big life issues. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life by equipping you with the skills to manage your social energy effectively. So if you're considering therapy, why not check out BetterHelp? It's an entirely online service, making it incredibly convenient and adaptable to your lifestyle. Just start with a quick questionnaire and you'll be matched with a licensed therapist. And if you feel the need to switch therapists for any reason, you can do so at any time without any extra cost. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait, don't hesitate, head over there now.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
How good I feel. I just want to tell a quick story, everybody. Years ago, I was in Los Angeles at the time. I don't know how we got connected, but we went to lunch.
Yes.
We went to lunch. Do you remember where we went to lunch?
We were in Beverly Hills.
Bel Air.
We were in Bel Air.
We were in Bel Air. We went to lunch at the Bel Air Hotel.
Yes.
And you remember what we ate?
Oysters.
And lobster salad. And these brothers said, this is real talk. He said, man, this is the first time I had a lobster salad. But y'all are doing so
well.
It was
very Hollywood.
Yeah, listen, give it up for these two because they have built literally a multi-million-dollar empire that has created jobs, has created opportunity, has created multiple opportunities for people all the way down on multiple levels. And that's exactly what entrepreneurship is. That's exactly what happens when we support our own and we amplify people to allow them to create jobs all the way down the food chain. And so I just give it up to you, brothers, for what you do.
Greatly appreciate it.
Appreciate it. So let's get into this. I want to start with crypto, shall we?
Let's start.
So we were talking upstairs. XRP, any XRP enthusiasts in the building?
Okay.
So they had an interesting ruling with the SEC, and that is interesting how this is going to affect the landscape of cryptocurrency. I know you're a crypto.
It is.
You're a crypto enthusiast. So what's your thoughts on the current state of crypto and specifically how the XRP ruling could, you know, translate to the whole entire space?
Well, we're coming out of a crypto winter, and the XRP ruling is very interesting because, just to break it down real quick, people who may not know, the SEC was trying to have XRP, the commodity that is the token, the asset, considered a security, and therefore it would fall under securities law and therefore be illegal for them without the proper licenses, et cetera, to trade that asset. But the judge ruled that instead of it being considered, and now the ruling's not final, and we're really talking about what may happen in the future, mm-hmm. but the potential is that asset, the judge said, is not necessarily a security, but a commodity, like an orange. So if you have a grove of orange trees, you grow oranges, you don't need a license from the SEC to sell those oranges. It's a commodity. And so since this asset was created, The question is it a security like a stock or is it a commodity like an orange? And if it ends up being ruled to be a commodity, then the floodgates literally will open extremely wide because it'll allow a great deal of assets to flow into the space because it won't be. Now, other people argue that the more regulation in the space is better because it's kind of like the Wild Wild West. And therefore, you need regulation, and both parties are correct in a way. But what's interesting about it to me is folks who are holding XRP thought that it was definitely going to go the security route. But it's indicating that it may go the commodity route, which changes people's minds. So you've seen the price, for instance, of XRP jump radically recently, but it's not even traded on Coinbase. Coinbase halted the trading of XRP because it was under sanction by the SEC. Now, if Coinbase starts trading XRP and opens it back up, because a lot of people have a ton of XRP on Coinbase, but it's locked up because you can't even trade it on the platform. If Coinbase opens XRP back up, get ready, because it'll start moving. And it'll move fast, but we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, and everybody talks about the crypto. I'm not sure what to do with it. But we were looking at this building behind us, and we said there's hundreds of buildings that look just like this. And if we're talking about this as a comeback city, how do we all take part in this? Can you talk about how crypto can play a role inside of that token economy and how we can own things together?
Yes, but let me talk about the city first.
Yes.
So I chose Michigan. I'm not from Michigan. Right. I came here and I was born in Iowa. I came here in 2011, 12, 13, when there used to be a media tax credit here. I did a couple films. They weren't that good. I'm not going to tell you which they were. But I fell in love with the people. This is the greatest people in the world here. It's a combination. It is. And I said to myself then, I didn't have a child then. I said to myself, when I have kids, I'd rather have them grow up like people here than people in Hollywood. And the reason why, you will not meet a black person in Detroit that does not have a good sense of themselves. It doesn't exist. Now, some of them don't have good sense, but those are two different things. But when we think about this city and the greatness of the city and the legacy of this city, it's about ownership. And I want to be careful about what I say, but in many ways, we may have gotten somewhat away from that, but tokenization can bring us back to that. And so to answer your question, if we tokenize that building behind us, mm-hmm. it opens up the access for actual ownership in a smaller fractal share way when maybe one of us or two of us don't have the down payment and we know how they redline, they know how less than 1% of major bank lending goes to our community. So even the idea that you're going to get a loan for that building may not even happen. But if we're able to tokenize that building, and I could go to you and you and you and you and you and say, how many tokens of that do you want? Oh, you can do 10, you do 20, you do 40, you do 10, you do 2, you do 5, you do 7. All of a sudden, we collectively own that structure, and we don't let other outside forces, like what happened in Harlem as an example, developers came in, beautiful brownstones. They bought them. They boarded them up. They did not create affordable housing. They boarded them up. They choked the community. Community services start closing. Cleaners close. Grocery stores close. Food deserts are created. Nobody wants to live there. Everybody leaves. It's vacated. Then en masse, they come back and develop it, but they don't sell it back to us, right? So we can disrupt that type of activity. Because you look at that building, most of the windows are boarded up. Mm-hmm. Someone's choking out that building because they could be redeveloping and creating affordable housing, but they're not. They're trying to choke it out and then bring other people in. We can disrupt that through tokenization by getting into and access to the asset at a lower individual cost. But the only way that works is if we do it collectively, which we haven't been taught to do in our community. We've been taught to compete with each other, but not work collectively.
Yes, for sure. So let's talk about artificial intelligence, and a lot of people are scared of it, say it's a major threat, especially to our community. It's going to take, they said, over 360 million jobs worldwide over the next 10 years, And, you know, this is the Motor City, and people think of Detroit, and they think of hard labor. But you actually provided a different insight when we were upstairs about Detroit, its history of innovation. Can you just kind of explain what you said to us? It's very insightful what you said.
So Detroit and this area was the most innovative place in the world. It was the Silicon Valley back in the day. And to me, you know, I was fortunate enough to buy the Fisher Mansion, which is right up the street. I mean, that's the Fisher Building. You can see it if we didn't have this screen right here, the you know, building with the green top. The Fisher family was the richest family in America because of innovation. Henry Ford goes to Charles T. Fisher and says, hey, man, because remember, Ford used to not be a car company. It was a motor company. It's called the Ford Motor Company. Henry Ford made a motor, an engine. And he goes to Fisher that they made carriages for horses. And he says, man, I need a horseless carriage. And Fisher's like, you need a horseless carriage? Yeah, I'm building a motor so we won't need horses to pull the thing. And that's why the term horsepower came, because Fisher says, well, we build the size of the carriage based on how many horses pull it. So how many horsepower do you need it to be built? And so ultimately the Fishers built the chassis for Chrysler, Dodge, GM, Ford, etc., built amazing wealth, built that amazing building. While y'all brothers are here, go into the lobby. It's one of the most beautiful lobbies you ever see. But the point is, it was a city of innovation, new thinking. And to me, it's the mobility city of the world. And if we use AI and AI mobility to push harder and deeper into that type of technology, this city can become the mobility capital of the world. Autonomous vehicles, young, independent entrepreneurs that are developing technology. Now, to me, the scary part is, though, that if we're not actually writing the code, if we're not part of the code of AI, then the AI ultimately, as it's generative and it's improving upon itself, it starts to write us out of the future of it. So that's why I need any of y'all that are young coders, that are young entrepreneurs, you have to start your company now. Because we're at the nascent part of AI, and if you don't start your company now and get into the generative cycle, that as you're coding in or typing in prompts for AI, and you're not, and your company's not popping up on it, the AI is not going to be generative for your company. It's just like a new version of a Google search, and you're not at the top of the search. We need our companies and our entrepreneurs to be part of the generative process. And since it's in its nascent phase, launch your company now. Don't wait. Do not wait. We need you in it. And this city can be, I believe, the AI mobility capital of the world, autonomous vehicles everywhere, built by us, for us, and we're part of that.
Hill, I wonder, you know, you have an in-depth history of the city. For the young people out here who are looking to invest, maybe in real estate, what are the areas, because I know there's some labels of historic areas not too far from here. What are the areas that they should be looking at to say, all right, this is an opportunity before everybody comes out to invest in it, we can now invest and make sure that we're at the forefront of this?
So my grandmama used to say, I can show you better than I can tell you. So I'm just going to be honest. So I bought a building. Y'all know, you know, in 8 Mile, they shoot up that building with the cow's head on top on Mac. There's like a little ice cream shop on Mac with a cow's head. I bought that building. Don't go mess it up, y'all. So I think that whole area around Mac and Drexel and that Chrysler plant that's over there moving towards Grosse Pointe is a great opportunity. Because remember, how many cars are going down Mac, Grosse Pointe, and back? And there's not a lot going on there, right? There's a packaged liquor store right there near Mac and Drexel. There's a couple other things, but not a lot happening. I believe that corridor is prime for getting any type of, it could be residential. I'm a big believer in commercial real estate, although downtown commercial real estate is suffering. But that doesn't mean community-based commercial real estate can't thrive. And if there's anybody there out there that's an ice cream entrepreneur, this is real talk, and you have a little bit of money to invest in infrastructure, I'll partner with you on that cow set because it's historically an ice cream shop, and I'd like it to be an ice cream shop. And the little kids in that neighborhood deserve ice cream. They ain't got no ice cream. They got plexiglass liquor stores, and they can buy Faygo and Verner's and maybe some Funyuns with SNAP money. We got to do better, y'all. And that it starts with bringing things like ice cream and fresh produce and things like that into the community. So I'm serious. If somebody wants to open up an ice cream shop on Mac, particularly if you know how to do really nice flavors, because I don't know how to do that.
We got
Let's
one.
Talk. Let's talk.
We got one right here.
All right. So my last question is, what's your vision? You said you fell in love with the city of Detroit and the state of Michigan. Where do you see this city and this state going over the next decade?
I just want people and more people to choose Michigan like I did. I mean, we're 49th out of 50 in growth. And I don't understand. I don't understand why. So much talent leaves. Most of the top graduates from Grand Valley State, from Michigan State, from University of Michigan, keep on going. Western Michigan, Oakland University, they leave. They go to Atlanta. They go to Chicago. They go to Austin, Texas. They go to L.A. We got to keep our talent here. We can't be like LeBron taking the talent to South Beach. These guys are so fancy. They're hanging out with LeBron now. I see my man somewhere. He's got the LeBrons on right there. I see you right there. He's talking to somebody, though. I just shouted out your LeBrons. They're nice. They're nice. I see you. And so we have to create more people choosing Michigan and bringing their talents here. And let's be clear, this state is poised more than any other state in the country for climate change. 21% of the fresh surface water supply in the world touches Michigan shores. 21%. There's more water here. There's more clean water. There's more opportunity here. There's more intelligence here. There's more hustle here than any state in the country. Yet we are getting smaller, and it doesn't make sense. We all have to be ambassadors for this place because I want people to come here. I don't want us to keep losing the congressional district. I don't want us to keep fighting over funding for different things that we deserve. And so I believe that you're going to see Michigan really start to grow. Like you're going to see Detroit start to grow like Austin, Texas has. Because we're going to be creating businesses that attract talent. And I think it's going to happen. But it only happens, like I said, if we collaborate. Dr. King said it well way back then. We are all tied together in a single garment of mutual destiny. My destiny is inextricably linked with yours. And that's why since you all are doing well, you give me permission to do well. And if we do well, you give me permission. And on. And to the extent we either tear each other down or build each other up, I believe we build each other up. I mean, it's beautiful.
You know who else is here?
Who's that?
Earn Your Leisure. And we're going to keep coming back because we understand the importance of being in cities like Detroit, the beauty of Detroit.
That's right.
And the future for Detroit. So thank y'all for coming. Thank you for inviting us here. It's been an amazing time. And Hill, I know we don't like to take too much of your time. So again, thank you for coming to be a part of this. Earn your master's panel. And that's it for your time, man.
I appreciate it. Thank y'all. God bless you. Thank you.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.